everybody. It's Dave here, and Darren is not there. That's Justin Dave from Purple on Gold for Days. He's joining me in Darren's place because Darren right now is flapping his arms really, really hard as he flies down from Canada to, where was that? Costa Rica. There we go. He's going to be on the Pacific side of the country. He's looking forward to a multi-week vacation with his beautiful bride, and we wish him all the joy in the world and hope he sweats his balls off in the process, because it's going to be a little bit warm down there. But he's going to miss all the excitement that's going to happen here in the next 48 to 72 hours. Yes, that's right. Oh, we're going into free agency, and the Vikings have a big choice or choices to make. First off, I want to welcome everybody that's joined the show from Gitano, Skull for Life, Barber, Raymond, No Stop. Who else is with us today so far? We have Delton. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And let's get this version of Two Old Bloggers started. Vikings First and Skull presents This Week in Vikings Land with Darren and Dave, your two old bloggers. I want to welcome Justin Day from Purple and Gold for Days. He is here in stead, as in two words, not one word, of Darren Campbell, who's on his way to Costa Rica to have fun with his wife and hopefully catch some fish, see some sights, do some wonderful things while he's down there. But in the meantime, he's missing out on all the excitement that's going to happen in the next 48 to 72 hours. Are you looking forward to it, Justin?
I am. It is the most wonderful time of the year. When we were muted, I did the singing bit. I'm not going to do it twice. I only got that in me once. So Dave will be the only one who heard me sing it. No.
It is wonderful time of the year.
Ba-dum. Anyway, I remember Paul Allen and Jeff Dubay would do this gift wrapping opening bit at the start of free agency. Hey, we got a new defensive tackle. We got a new linebacker. Well, it is the most wonderful time of the year, unless, of course, you're playing in that Super Bowl. That would be slightly more wonderful. But jokes aside, it is that time of the year where rampant speculation becomes reality. And we don't have to argue about what's the best thing. We get to say, did the Vikings make the right choices? And we're going to find out. This NFL train of, well, we know tampering happens, so let's just make this a legal tampering period versus an illegal tampering period. But we're going to find out. We're going to find out real quick. There's a lot of dominoes to fall. It all starts with the guy on the screen here in Kirk Cousins, but it's going to be a fun time. And this is the best part of the year because everybody is 0-0. Everybody thinks, you know what? We can just do this, this, and this, and we can get our eyes on the prize. So it's going to be fun. Let's enjoy your time, Darren. Thanks for letting me sit in for you guys today.
Let's get this going. Theme one. Speaking of that guy, it came out today from Diana Russini of The Athletic. She's the national NFL reporter. That Kirk Cousins is going to notify the Vikings tonight on whether he plans to test free agency or accept whatever offer the Vikings have put out there on the table. That means we're in Kirk watch full blown. What do you think is going to happen there, Justin?
I will answer that two ways. What I want to happen, and not because I don't think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, and not because I think everything over the last 6 years is his fault. Let me put that disclaimer out there for those who adore Kirk Cousins and thinks we can't say anything but glowing positive things about him. What I want to happen is I want the Vikings to move on. And I say that in the context of, after 6 years, it's time. I'm not saying that however you want to describe the last 6 years and where we were when we signed him and where we are now is entirely one entity's fault. It drives me crazy about this fan base. Well, it's Kirk's fault. No, it's the offensive line. No, it's the defense. No, it's the head coach. It's all of the above. And it is just time because you're talking about a 36-year-old quarterback when the season starts, coming off an Achilles injury. And even if he hadn't been coming off the Achilles injury, I'd be thinking the same thing, because as you always have pointed out, the age cliff of when quarterbacks fall off. I don't want to hear about Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers. Let's not think that Kirk belongs in that conversation. And even if he did, it would be an outlier. So what I want is I want this team to go in a different direction, because we've seen this song and dance, and I'm not parceling out blame to him per se. What do I think is going to happen? I don't know. There were times where I thought, okay, it's done. He's doing the media tours. He's trying to put himself out there. On one hand, at the end of the season, he says, yeah, I want to stay here. It's not about the money. It's about what it represents. Okay, that's great if you're saying that. But in most recent times, you're putting out videos right around draft combine time, by the way. Interesting timing. And you're saying, and again, whether this information that has hit the media over the last couple of weeks was from his camp or not, it doesn't matter. If you're trying to pump up your stock because you want to get yourself the best deal, I don't begrudge you that at all. I have always said on my channel that players deserve to make as much money as they can. And I don't begrudge any player for maximizing his or her earning potential. But don't tell me you're willing to take a discount and it's not about the money, but then do everything you can to get the most money you can. Pick a lane. So what I think is going to happen is I think it's going to be the end of Kirk Cousins' time in Minnesota, but I am by no means guaranteeing that, because things can happen. It was pointed out on X that when Kirk Cousins signed his 2-year extension with 1 year left of his original deal, it was the night before the start of the legal tampering period. This time last year, when he signed his 1-year extension, it was the night before the legal tampering period. So I think what we can definitively say is we should have our answers relatively quick. And by noon tomorrow, it should be a done deal, hopefully.
I got this from Norsefius. It was my original artwork, but he put on the deal. The grift that keeps on grifting. Hopefully that grift goes on to Atlanta or the Raiders or the Broncos or the Patriots or wherever it is, because he's made his money in Minnesota, and I can't fault him for that, but he has not produced in where it matters. Yes, he produces in stats. He's got the prettiest stats of just about any quarterback I've ever seen, and I've heard ad nauseum, oh, but Dave, he throws over 4,000 yards a year, closer to 4,500 and 30-plus touchdowns every year. And yet, we're mediocre. Worst of the best and best of the worst, as my buddy Drew used to say. And that's all it's been.
Yeah.
We haven't been in the game or close to it since 2017. And that was when they brought him here in 2018 going, he's the final piece of the puzzle. He's right. The one that's going to take us to the promised land. And 6 years later, going on 7, I don't see that changing at all. I don't see that his ability to take us to the promised land has gotten any better overall. Yes, was he playing better last beginning of last season? Yes, he was. He's playing some very good ball. But he does tend to play good in October. I mean, that's Kirk-tober, where October came from. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. But there was always, a few games a year where he threw stupid interceptions. And, you know, we're wondering, why is he at the bottom of the roller coaster? He's either playing really good or just brain farting. So, or vapor locking, like I used to say. And it just, to me, it doesn't make sense to bring him back. Now, does that mean they won't? I'm not so sure about that, folks.
I'm not either.
They very well may. And it could be, it may not be. They like Kirk Cousins. They like him as the person. As a person, he's probably a pretty cool guy. I'm sure I'd have interesting conversations with him. He's probably knowledgeable on a lot of subjects and probably fascinating. And the team likes him. They like him in the locker room. He endeared himself after the Netflix series Quarterback.
Most definitely. Yep.
Upped his stock, you know, and it is. They might want him back. But like I've said, and you alluded to, I did the study. 35 years old is generally the age of death, if you want to call it that, for a quarterback. That's when they start to fall off and degrade. Throw in an Achilles tendon being blown up on top of that, and it just makes it hard for me to accept it. Now, if the Vikings do re-sign him back, I'm a Vikings fan. I am going to wish all the luck in the world and that he finally pulls it out and gets us to the promised land. Do I believe that's going to happen? No. But am I going to want it to happen? Yes, because I want a Super Bowl. I went to my first game in 69, folks. 1969. That's eons ago. We have yet to win a Super Bowl. We haven't been to the Super Bowl since I was a kid. And I was a little kid back then, 6 in 69. It's a long way to go. We haven't had a true, what I would consider, franchise quarterback since Fran Tarkenton. Now, we've had two close calls, very, very close calls on that, and what I'd consider Dante Culpepper, right? And Dante was well on the way until he blew up his knee. I think Teddy Bridgewater could have been until his knee exploded, almost lost his leg. That messed with him. Now, you can go back and see some of the other guys that have played and were good. And, yes, we've had franchise-quality quarterbacks that have played for us, but they were on one-year rental-type deals or two-year rentals, whether it be Cunningham or Favre or whoever. But we've never had that guy. And Kirk Cousins was supposed to be that guy. But in 6 years, he hasn't been. And to me, it's time to move on. We've hit that 35-year age range. He's going to be 36 this season. He's trying to come from a surgically repaired Achilles tendon, which he may fully recover from. I don't doubt that. But it's going to be hard to see how that, making that wager, would be more beneficial than going for the alternative, whatever the alternative is. I suspect it's moving up in the draft to find the quarterback we want.
I hope so.
But I'm ready to move on. And if we don't, I'm going to be a little bit livid over the decision, but I understand it, and I root for the Vikings. And I report on the Vikings. So
they will always be our team. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, whether you're pro-Kirk, anti-Kirk, or somebody in the middle that's like, okay, he's good, not great, and I see some of the points. I don't agree with either extreme. I do not agree with the Kirk stands that thinks he walks on water and want to absolve him from any blame whatsoever. I also don't agree with the Kirk haters, the true haters that think everything is because of him. I am in the middle where it's some of it's on him, some of it's on the general managers and how they've drafted in the last, pert near since 2015 was the last really good draft that we had. And some of it is just on circumstances. To a couple of points that you made. The thing about Kirk Cousins, and I've said this on my channel too, Kirk Cousins has a very high floor when you compare him to his peers. There will be other quarterbacks you could do a lot worse than Kirk Cousins, where they could train wreck a season. They could train wreck a game. Kirk is the kind of guy that has a very high floor, but as compared to his peers, a lower ceiling. Kirk Cousins' ceiling is the divisional round of the playoffs. Okay? just like Dak Prescott. And if I was a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, I'd be saying the same thing. Do not give Dak Prescott $60 million a year. Not because I think Dak Prescott's garbage, but I think that if you give Dak Prescott that much money, you're not going to be able to build a team around him that he can win a Super Bowl with. Yes, you could build a team that is competitive during the regular season and can get into the playoffs. But as a Vikings fan who is about to turn 45 in June, I've seen zero Super Bowls in my lifetime, and I've seen five NFC Championship games. So roughly every 8 to 9 years, they have one pop-up season, and then they have one or two bad seasons a decade, and then they have 6 to 7 mediocre seasons. And I'm sorry, for me, just being competitive to barely squeak in or maybe win the division to lose in the wild card or division around the playoffs, that is mediocre to me. Now, if some here, if this is your first time seeing me, I hope that you'll subscribe to my channel at the end. But I'm sorry if my standard is higher than just being content, not being bad. Kirk keeps you from not being bad. And the objective shouldn't be our first priority is that we're not bad. Our first objective should be, let's be great. And I'm not saying that the last 6 years where you've had two playoff appearances, one playoff win, and four losing seasons is completely on Kirk Cousins. I will not say that. But I will also say that he is absolved from any of the flaws that the team has incurred over the last six seasons. So, but there was a couple of good points in here in the chat. I think it was KSkull77 who said, unfortunately, I believe that he'll be back. In my opinion, it's the ownership pushing this. I have said that for almost 2 years, that as much as I like the Wilfs, particularly in comparison to cheap Red McCombs and the gang of 10 before him, where they have put in money, I am not saying that they're cheap. I'm not saying they're bad, but their mindset of, we want to avoid being bad at all costs. Well, avoid being bad at all costs prohibits you from having sustained success. Look at the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. The Vikings have not been to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons since 08 and 09. And prior to that, the last time they had sustained success was 97 through 2000, where they had four straight playoff seasons. Okay? They're always, now, the flip side of that is that they're never a 3 or 4 win garbage train wreck team. Come Christmas time, they're always in that in the hunt graphic. And to a certain extent, that's what the owners want. They don't want these up and downs where we're terrible a year and then we're great for 2 years and they're terrible. They want consistency. Consistency is good in and of itself. But if that consistency leads you to mediocrity, is it really that good? So to me, I think staying with Kirk Cousins, yeah, the alternatives, we might, if we, let's say we trade up to 3 and get one of the three or four top quarterbacks. Yeah, we would take a step back at the quarterback position, most likely, unless he turns into a CJ Stroud. Did CJ Stroud cause the Texans to take a step back? No, they took a step forward. So it is possible. But sans that, yeah, we might take a step back, but the overall team would then be taking steps to get better. I've always said, if you're stuck in mediocrity, sometimes you have to take one step back in order to take two steps forward. But as some of the commenters have put up here, some people are just so fearful that if we don't sign Kirk Cousins and don't continue to push all of our chips in every year, that somehow we'll turn into the Detroit Lions and be bad for 3 decades. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. This team, over its existence, has never train wrecked for more than a season or two. But yeah, if you re-sign Kirk Cousins and you bring back Danielle Hunter, which we'll talk about later, yeah, you would be competitive for the division. You would. And you might get into the playoffs, but again, you're pretty much capped out at the divisional round. And I'd rather take a step back, theoretically, possibly, at the quarterback position, get a younger guy who you have now under the tutelage of Kevin O'Connell, who is now making peanuts in compared to a market value quarterback, build up the rest of your team around, and then hopefully you push back up to that middle ground, and then hopefully you push through. Mediocrity needs to lead more mediocrity. Absolutely right. So this isn't an anti-Kirk thing. It's what he represents. A good, not great quarterback being paid market value leads you to staying in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you got to take a chance. Cincinnati did it with Joe Burrow. Buffalo did it with Josh Allen, right? The first seasons weren't the greatest, but both of them have made it until they run into Patrick Mahomes. And there is the prime example of where you have a good but not quarterback in mm-hmm. Smith, and yet they went and grabbed themselves that rookie that they thought could be the guy. And obviously, with Patrick Mahomes, maybe turn out to be the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. When it all shakes out in the end, he's got a ways to go, but he's got a great start at it.
Absolutely.
We want to see that on the NFC side, specifically for our team in purple.
How about that? Let me address that point. That's a very good point. The Kansas City Chiefs had been to the playoffs four straight years, and I believe they got to the divisional round at least three out of those 4 years. I'd have to look it up. But Alex Smith wasn't the problem in Kansas City. He wasn't, but he also wasn't the solution. And that is what I've said about Kirk for the last 2 years. He's not the problem. So no, I'm not listening to the haters say that he's the problem, but he's also not the solution. So I'm not listening to the stands say, no, we can win with it. No, he can't. Was it Alex Smith's fault? No, it wasn't. Now, Kansas City didn't even in their wildest dreams think that Patrick Mahomes would be this good. I mean, they'll take it, obviously. But at some point, Andy Reid says to himself, I've gone as far as I can go with this guy through no fault of his own. We've tried different machinations of adding different pieces to this team, and it just didn't work. And it's the same thing with Kirk. First, it's, well, the Vikings have let Kirk down for the last three or four seasons with their terrible drafting and terrible signings. Doesn't that by definition means that Kirk let us down the first 2 years he was here when he took over a team that had the number one ranked defense in the NFL? And yes, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, during 18 and 19, they weren't the best defense, but they were still top 10 in both of those seasons. So let's not pretend that Kirk never had a defense here. And then we want to talk about the unfortunate passing of Tony Sparano and how that jacked up the offensive line. Okay, those are valid points to be made. But that doesn't mean that Kirk can't take any criticism. And it doesn't mean that it's the wrong decision to say we've tried and tried and tried. And since 2019, we've had four seasons and three out of the four of those seasons, for whatever reason, wherever you want to parcel out the blame, we've had three out of four losing seasons. So, yeah, it's time to rip off the Band-Aid, in my opinion. Doesn't mean that he's the problem. I just don't think he's the solution. And we'll see. Some of the comments that have been asked, what's going to happen if you get rid of Kirk and you draft a rookie quarterback and they're terrible and we're 3-14? You live with it. And then you evaluate, why did this happen? Is this quarterback showing signs that he's picking up the offense, that he can be the answer at the quarterback position? And if after one season, you know, right off the bat that that guy isn't it, well, if you're 3-14, you draft another one, because guess what? What's the difference between a couple of bad seasons and two more mediocre seasons? Yes, the mediocre seasons for guys like us covering the team and doing content would be a lot more entertaining and interesting than covering two bad seasons. I'm not suggesting I want the team to be bad. That's the other thing I love. Oh, you just want them to tank. No, I'm not saying that. We
want them to win.
We want them to win, but with how it's currently constructed, if you know your limits and your ceiling is mediocrity, I'm willing to try something else. I'm willing. Here's the scenario. And there's no guarantees in any of this, and I know that. But if I told you right now that the Vikings were going to have, as was suggested in the comments, a 3-14 season next year, boy, that would suck. And in 2025, they have another 7-8 win season. But in 2025, 6-7, they go to the NFC Championship game three times, go to the Super Bowl twice, and win one, if not both, of those Super Bowls. Wouldn't a bad 2024 be worth that? Yes. But for some fans, and particularly the owners, that one bad season isn't worth it, because what if that one bad season leads to five bad seasons? Well, what if you sign Kirk Cousins and you stay mediocre for two or three more years? What else do you got? So And I want to be clear. I'm not taking a dig at Kirk. Kirk is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of Vikings quarterbacks. Granted, there hasn't been a whole lot, so I don't want to damn him with faint praise. I would go Tarkington 1. I would go Kramer 2. And I would say Dante and Kirk are pretty even. I'd give a minuscule edge to Dante because he actually got the team to an NFC Championship game once, was second in MVP. Dante's a roller coaster where he has higher highs and lower lows, kind of like what I was talking about, ceiling and floor earlier, whereas Kirk is pretty steady in the middle. But beyond that, those are my top four quarterbacks in this team's history. And I eliminate the one-year wonders like Favre and Cunningham and George because you got to give me at least 3 years of sustained success. So I definitely have Kirk on the Mount Rushmore, even though I've been labeled a Kirk Cousins hater by some.
And definitely he has the stats. Yes. The dude, he's got arm talent. I've said that from day one. He's got arm talent. It's the rest that hasn't come together. And like I said, I think he's reached the QB age of death. Now, people argue with me, but Dave, you got Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady played in their 40s. Yeah. They're the anomalies. And we'll see if he can do that. But hopefully it's not for us. Hopefully we've turned on a different track by then. And we'll find out tonight if Diana Russini is correct. We're going to find out tonight. At least the Vikings will be given the 48 hours between Monday and Wednesday to get that last second deal done. If they do, you know, because technically they could all up to the new year. Then we'll find out. Because once that new league year rolls over and that 28.5 sticks, 28.5 million dead cap sticks, let me clarify that, to the cap, and it's already figured in right now, they're not going to pay him on top of that. That would be idiotic.
Yes.
In my point of view. And if they did that, I would be have serious questions. But no, it's not going to happen. So we should find out tonight. If he says he's testing free agency, means he's not accepting the deal that's on the table from the Vikings. If he says, comes out tonight and says, I accept the extension, well, we get Kirk Cousins. And I still hope they move up in the draft and draft the next guy. But we're going to find out tonight. It's going to be wild.
Oh, yes. And tomorrow at 11 o'clock Central, noon Eastern, it's going to be. I mean, I just saw in the chat that apparently Baker Mayfield just signed a contract extension, 3 years, $100 million for 50 guaranteed. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's starting. It's absolutely starting. Like mm-hmm. I said, most wonderful time of the year.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Jones got traded from the Pats to the Jaguars. He's going to be their backup. So good for him. And it's starting to move, people. It's starting to move. Well, that brings us up to our next topic, theme two. Speaking of which, sticking with Vikings players, we're going to talk about Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter has been an outstanding defensive edge player for the Minnesota Vikings, came in super young, was raw. Andre Patterson turned him into a phenom, quickest to 50 sacks out of anybody in NFL history. Absolutely great. And when he was healthy, he is one of the best. And last year, continuing in a 3-4 defense, which he's not used to, because remember, he started out in 4-3. 3-4, he had what? How many sacks last year?
Was it 11 and a half?
Somewhere. It's up there, 12, 13, 14, somewhere. He was still good, tons of pressures, and he loves playing for Brian Flores. Now, that may be a benefit for him for if the Vikings want to retain him. He's presently 29. He will turn 30 in October. The question is, are we going to keep him? And as you can see this Dan Graziano quote there are many teams, whether it be the Bears, and I know the Lions, which isn't in there, are interested. You have the Colts, the Commanders, and the Sea Chickens, all interested in getting his services. with it, is he going to walk or is he going to stay? What have the Vikings offered? And that's a good question. Some people think it should be around the $20 million range. Other people think he's going, no, 25 or more, because he never had that really, really big contract he was promised. And I think he's got an issue with his agent, but they did squeeze out more money on this last go-around when he had his sit-in. So we don't know. Now, our buddy, Tyler Fornes, did a write-up on it and talked about how he most likely will get sweat money. And by sweat, I mean Montez Sweat in this case. Montez Sweat was traded last year to the Chicago Bears. And Chicago being one of those teams, I would hate to see Sweat on one side and Hunter on the other. That would be a miserable when we play them both, play both games against those guys. But people are wondering, what in the world is Sweat money? There's Sweat's contract. He got the extension from the Bears, and that's what he's getting paid on annual value, a little over $25 million. What is interesting is Sweat's agent's team corporation is the same one as Danielle Hunter's. So it's going to be pretty much, I would almost guarantee they're going to ask that money.
Right.
Will the Vikings be willing to pay that to keep him at edge? He's presently our best edge, right? Our only other options clearly. We have Davenport, who played a whopping four games last year, right? And was good during those four games, but it's the other 13 games that he didn't play that we have the issue with. And we had DJ Wonnum. Both those guys, all three of them, are going to be free agents. DJ Wonnum was serviceable. He had, I think, 8 sacks in his best season. DJ Wonnum's known as the cleanup guy because a lot of time his sacks came when somebody was pushing the quarterback in his direction. But he's improved. And all three of those guys are free agents. And then we're left with Andre Carter II and Patrick Jones II. That's it. That's all we have on roster. So we're going to need an edge of some sort. We're probably targeting the draft, but we're probably also going to target something in free agency if we do not keep Danielle Hunter. So my question to you, Justin, is should we keep Danielle Hunter?
I think we absolutely should. Now, I'm not going to give him $28 million a year. So I don't know where they're at with their contract negotiations, and I don't know what Danielle Hunter is asking for. I'm going to say it like this. If the Vikings, to wrap up point one into point two, if they bring Kirk Cousins back, there is a 5% chance at best, that they bring Danielle Hunter back. Because Danielle Hunter, as you said, this is his first chance because he took his initial 5-year extension early. The Vikings, I don't want to say lowballed him, but they got him before he really blew up, which was a shrewd move by them. And we don't begrudge them that, but
that was
Danielle Hunter. Yeah. Danielle Hunter hasn't had his chance to make his bag. His, all right, life altering, setting up not only my children, but my children's children, their life. So I think Danielle Hunter is, and I think he wants to be here. I legitimately believe that he does not want to go, but I also legitimately believe that he knows that this is his last shot of getting that bag. So he's going to want the best of both worlds. And so if Kirk is back, I say almost 0% chance. Now, do I think that they can bring him back? Yes. Do I think they should bring him back? Yes. I would love for them to bring Danielle Hunter back. Get one of those big fat guys in the middle, big round bellies, as you say, Dave, on the defensive line next to him.
One here shortly,
which we'll talk about. And I think that would do wonders not only for Danielle Hunter, but it would also do wonders for Harrison Phillips, who I think is a good, not great guy. Who, when you're asking him to just be the guy as the third wheel on your defensive line, he can be serviceable in that capacity, but asking him to be one of your difference makers is asking too much. So do I want Danielle Hunter back? Yes. Do I think Danielle Hunter at 30 is somebody who, okay, he's not falling off the age cliff yet. People say to me, why are you going to say that about Danielle, but you don't say that about Cousins? Why doesn't your argument hold the same water? I said, well, one's 6 years younger than the other. Yes, had some issues the last couple of seasons before this past season with the neck injury and then missing some time with the torn pectoral. But the guy is a freak of nature. And we're not talking about an Achilles or an ACL. There were some freak accidents. And ultimately, what the heck else do you got? If you don't bring Danielle Hunter back, you got to get free agency signings, and you have to account for that in the draft. You got the guy up there, Marcus Davenport. I know they extended his void deadline just to keep the options open. I want zero to do with Marcus Davenport. I'm sorry. It was a flyer that you took last year and it didn't work, and I'm not willing to take a flyer on him twice. So for me, yes, Danielle Hunter should be priority. Yes.
Dice game?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, last year for Davenport, they crazy did that and rolled the dice, and it came up craps.
Yep. What was it? 1.5 games, 2.5 games we got out of that guy?
Well, he played in four.
Yeah. I think he played one series in Philadelphia.
Right. It was two full and two partials.
Right.
And when he played, he was damn good.
Yeah. But your best ability is what?
Availability. And thank you. When he was supposedly available at the end of the season and didn't want to come back, that raised red flags. But the odds of if they went with him a second time throwing craps again is not as likely. I could understand it from a logical point of view to do it, especially if they paid him under $5 million, you know, and actually his cap hit would go down then. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but it all depends on this is where we get into, all right, you can say injuries are fluky deals, right? You can go through a bunch of them and a rash of them and then be fine for the next 10 years. Or you can just, you know, repeat, and then it's not worth it. It's going to be interesting to see what they think. I do believe whether they do try to go for it again or not go for it again, and we don't know. We won't find out until officially Wednesday, is his chemistry in the locker room and chemistry with people inside the building.
Right.
I don't know his heart. All we heard was rumors and what was reported. If his heart is true and he wants to play football and he loves it, you know, it's not just a job. He's trying his best and all this, you know, I could see them going for it. If it is as reported that he's got to be one of those guys that has to be 100%, you know, can't play. Oh, no, I got a hangnail. I'm sitting out today. That type.
Yeah. So, and to your point about the salary cap. Yeah. If he came and said, I will take pert near, but not necessarily veterans minimum on a 1 year prove it deal. I'm thinking about it, but I'm still leaning towards no, because yes, if he signed a deal that would ultimately push some of his dead cap hits into future years, and thus his salary cap number was the same as what it would be if you cut him. The problem I have with that is at this point, if you don't bring Kirk back and you're under the guise of we're taking this year to reset, I don't want to push more money into 25 and beyond. I want to have a clean slate. I want to have that $125 million of available cap space. And so, yes, if you signed Davenport and you pushed some of his 6.9 dead, I think it would probably then be 4.9 would get pushed dead. I know it's only $5 million, but I'd rather just wipe the slate clean, rip off the Band-Aid for a guy that there was one interview that he did. I think it was with Doogie, and he's just kind of nonchalantly like, who says I'm not doing that? Who says I'm just sitting here doing that turned me off from him. I was just like, okay, this is one of those guys who as you said, feels like he has to be 100% before he'll put himself out on the line again. So I'm pretty much out on Davenport. But to circle back to Hunter, I bring him back. I want him to be here because, again, you've got hardly anything else. And I do believe he still has at least two, if not three, good prime years left, and maybe a fourth year where he's serviceable but not in his prime in the twilight of his career. That's the difference for me. I believe that Hunter has more left in him. So, again, I'm not breaking the bank and paying him $28 million with some of the contracts with Chris Jones and the guy from Baltimore. Granted, those guys are tackles, but they're still high-end defensive linemen. I'm not willing to give him $28, $30 million. I'm not giving him Nick Bosa money, but if you can get him back around 22 to 24, yes, I do that in a minute.
It's going to be interesting. And as I've done studies and read more about studies on ages of Viking of players in the NFL and what positions, how long they last, right? The shortest is running back. The death age quote is 28 for running backs. After that, they're starting their downhill slide. And that's for most players, believe it or not, but especially running backs. However, there are players that play longer and are in their prime later and longer. Offensive linemen being one of them. One, it takes that amount of time to develop them to the NFL level, usually 3 years. And two, body maturing and adjusting to everything in the NFL because it's so different from college. Well, defensive end is one of those positions. Defensive end is productive all the way through about the 33 range, which is about the same as offensive lineman, right? Mm-hmm. You get that low mid-30s, you're still highly productive. It's after 33 that they start to decline, and where offensive lineman may go to 35-ish, somewhere in there. So he'd still be in prime production range is all I'm saying, is if they give him a 3 year contract or even a four, he would still be good. Now, the question is, are they willing to, when we know that we have alternatives in the draft, young guys, and they usually take time to develop. He did his first year. Danielle Hunter's first year wasn't super spectacular, right? But they're available and you want to build up for the future. You want to build the foundation and then keep that foundation, rotating pieces of that foundation in 5 year segments generally, you know, but you're constantly filling in. One guy retires, say Harrison Smith retires, you're filling in with the second guy that can be the foundational piece in the safety room, right? And it's constantly going, and you keep that window open for a longer, longer time, and you create the dynasty that we all want and desire. Now, whether it's him, I don't know. Now, I saw an interesting option that we did not talk about, and it was that Tom Pelissero talked about how the Eagles are talking about trading Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat is their defensive end, plays the same position. And last season, he had 70 pressures. And the year before that, he had 15 sacks. And he is only going to be 27 by the time the season starts. So he's in that perfect age range. The problem with right. Josh Sweat is it's a trade. And mm-hmm. it's a trade with the Eagles. And how much are they going to demand in lieu of, you know, to get him? If it's a Daniel Jones thing, like, well, we'll accept a six for him because we're trying to get rid of his money, fine. And he makes less than, I think he's right around $20 million. I thought I looked it up.
Let me pull it up here now for you.
And it would be, that would be, I would think, a decent replacement. But you got the cost of the draft pick. And the cost of the draft pick also gets weighed against the cost of the contract and whether you want to do it or not. But I just thought I'd bring that up as there's possibilities that may happen that we don't, that aren't on the front of our minds, but that hopefully Kwesi and his office are thinking about as options to fill these holes in free agency. Free agency should be used to fill holes and on your team, and where's our most holes over on the defensive side, obviously. So if they grab some guys for there, get those, and then we draft talent, and not necessarily for need. If talent and need may meet, that's all the better. But we draft talent to build up, to build those cornerstones from the draft side. But we're looking for people that can be that now. So this was just an individual I thought would be interesting in that spot.
I would not mind him as a player. He's coming off 2024 is the last year of his contract. He's got a whole lot of void money, so Philly would be taking some dead cap hits, but that's beside the point. You would need to re-sign him to a contract extension. It would be similar to had the Vikings traded Danielle Hunter by the trade deadline. Whatever team that would trade him would have signed him to an extension because they weren't going to give up a draft pick for a rental player. So you have to keep in mind also that, yeah, right now his salary cap hit on the last year of his contract, if you traded for him, would be peanuts. But you'd have to extend the guy. But as you said, that's somebody who this time next year, if he hits free agency, would be one of those guys that is going to be highly sought after. And at the end of the day, turning 27 by the start of this season, you signed him to a four-year deal, you're getting him in his prime. I would absolutely be interested in that. Now, the biggest question then becomes what, as you said, would the trade compensation be? Reminder that the Vikings have their first and second. They don't have their third, but they have two fourth round picks. They have theirs and Detroit's. They lost their third as the last part of the TJ Hawkinson deal. I wouldn't be willing to give up my second round pick for this guy, and I don't know that the Eagles would be interested in taking a fourth. If they were interested in taking two fourths or a fourth this year and a third next year, yeah, I would definitely be on board with this gentleman. Absolutely. So I guess I would ask you back, you know, where's your line of demarcation? Would you, I'm not willing to give up a first or second. That's my line. What, where's yours at?
No, I'm hoping for day three. If they're willing to take a day three pick, I'd jump on it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But that,
or even 2 day three picks. Yeah.
Or even two, you know, stipulate it. Hey, I'll give you one next year too. Something like that, because he could be a cornerstone if they did that. I don't know that Kwesi's going to do that. I doubt he will, but it's just an option. We're in option season right now where people think, what if we get this guy? What if we get that guy? What if we get this guy? How would this guy fit? You know, is it a window shopping sort of type deal?
Yes.
And we're seeing how it's going to fit, which brings us to what if we get this guy? Theme three. Theme three, the one everybody seems to be drooling over and want, including me, the big round belly in the middle, over on the defensive side, Mr. Christian Wilkins from Miami. If I remember correctly, he's entering his fifth year. He is a free agent. He did not get tagged by Miami. He was drafted, I think it was the first player drafted, by Brian Flores, and that's key. And he is a power on the inside. He is considered an interior defensive lineman, even though he can slide out to edge. He's best at around five technique, right? This dude is a beast when it comes to rushing the passer from the inside. He generates all sorts of pressure. And what has the Vikings been lacking lately, and especially last year? Well, you can say the year before, too. Interior defensive pressure. He would fit the bill perfectly. Now, he has interest, not just in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Houston, the Sea Chickens. Right? He could go almost anywhere. But we're hoping with Brian Flores being his first coach and drafting him, much like, you know, players that wanted to play for Zimmer, I'm thinking Anthony Barr when he had hit free agency, will come this way. But what's your opinion on Mr. Wilkins?
Outside of the Vikings free agents, this guy is number one on my board. When you're talking about external free agents, you're going to have to pony up a pretty penny, though, for this guy. We saw, again, we mentioned it earlier, the guy from Baltimore who was franchise tagged. I think it was 4 years, $98 million. We saw Chris Jones. Granted, Chris Jones a little bit older, but, you know, he and Aaron Donald are running the league as far mm-hmm. as the defensive tackles go. So, you know, he was 4 years, 100 and some million. That's the bar, because this guy's younger. Mm-hmm. And as you said, he has the connection to Brian Flores. You beat me to the punch. I was going to say he is Flores' Anthony Barr to Zimmer. Okay. Mm-hmm. We all know how hard Zimmer fought to keep Anthony Barr around. But not only is this guy a monster, a beast, use whatever cliche, but he is sorely needed. We mentioned this a few moments ago. If you get him and Danielle Hunter back, that's going to take a decent chunk of your available spending money. But if you don't bring Kirk back and you take all $28.5 million dead on this year, you can then construct those contracts to where they're a touch lower this season and have some of the extra hits. Yes, M. Sullivan. That would be the coup de grace. Sign those two players and get Devondre Sweat in the draft. And then trade for the Philly guy. There you go. But jokes aside, this guy fills a need and a half, because it gives you the interior pass rush you're talking about, and it also allows you to have somewhat of a stout run defensive line. Talked about Harrison Phillips. This mm-hmm. is a guy you put Harrison Phillips next to, and you say, okay. Now, I'm not putting Harrison Phillips in the same class as Kevin Williams, okay? But what I'm saying it is like this. Kevin Williams was very, very good throughout his career, but he was great when he had big, fat Pat Williams next to him. Pat Williams and Jerry Ball in my lifetime, those mm-hmm. are the big round bellies of all big round bellies. So you would help Danielle Hunter if you brought him back by getting this guy. You would be helping Harrison Phillips by bringing this guy. So when I say he fills a need and a half, this guy's a three down lineman. He's not one of those Pat Williams that's only in on rundowns and can't get much pass rush. He's not just a pass rushing specialist that you can run against. This guy fits the bill. Now, again, you're going to have to be prepared. We've always loved using the cliche. I've used it. You've used it. Rhino from Vikings Uncensored. The Vikings, because since they signed Cousins in 18 and have always been pushing all their chips in and doing void years, they've only been able to shop in the quote unquote Walmart clearance rack of free agency. They finally now have an opportunity to be in free agency at the start, not waiting for that first wave to go by and collecting players that have high upside or collecting players that realize they weren't going to get as much money as they thought. Now you're in a position to do it.
Players with injury histories that they're rolling yes. the dice on.
Yes. So with all of that said, if they get this guy, regardless of what they do at quarterback, whether it's to bring back Kirk and try to run the team back as it has been, thinking, all right, we just need this piece and this piece and we can do something, or ripping off the Band-Aid. This guy, again, was he going to be 26? So if you sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal, you are getting him for his entire prime. And that is a guy and a position that you pay that kind of money to. You don't pay that kind of money to running backs, as an example. Defensive tackles that can get this kind of pressure, you absolutely do it for.
Yeah, and if I was crazy, I'd entertain 5 or more years if you could.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Lock him down. And it plus gives you flexibility to go after other people, because you can move salaries as the salary cap steps up over time. That would be my strategy. Now, people ask, Dave, can we get Wilkinson? Can we get Hunter? And can we get Wanham or whomever you're dreaming of to sign? And technically, yes, the Vikings have, what, $33 million-ish, somewhere in there, of effective cap space. But they can make that happen. Mm-hmm. It depends how they want to do that and how they want to push money down. But if you're taking, if you're picking up somebody you consider cornerstone guys, and by cornerstone, I'm talking about these guys may be the best at whatever level they play at, whether it be on the defensive line, he's the best on the defensive line, he's the best linebacker, he's the best safety, you know, corner, whatever. The multiple levels, and you are going to ride with them for the next 3, 4, 5 years. You go for that. That's what this is for. That's the only time overpaying in free agency is justified, because they're going to pull their weight, just like when we brought Fat Pat from Buffalo, right? How he developed into that. When you go for people like that, you're building up that talent base and you're opening your window.
And you're not paying a quarterback market value. And oh, by the way, with Danielle Hunter, let's circle back to him one more time. Right now, he is slated for $14.9 million in dead cap hits. $7.5 million of that would get shifted to $25 million if you extended him. So while I don't necessarily like doing that for a quarterback at 36, who's only going to sign for 3 years, he signed Danielle Hunter for 4 years. You have a lot more room to spread out his money. So is it possible that you could make two or three of these moves and be creative about it? Yes. Particularly if you decide to move on and go cheap at the quarterback position. So it's not that this team is doomed, and it is not that this team is sitting there with, you remember the days, you know, at the end of the Spielman regime, because they had made all their moves where you would start free agency, you know, negative 20, 25 million and have to make cuts and restructures just to get back to even. Well, as you said, they're at 33. Now, I think that's what, 12th in the league right now, somewhere in there?
Somewhere middle range.
I think it was 15, I think it moved up.
It's not a boatload like Chicago.
Right. Yes. We're not talking about 80s, but you've got room to play with, and you can be constructive and creative to get a lot of these moves done. The question is this guy going to say, I want $28 million for 5 years? Okay, that's a little steep. But you can be creative. And again, it doesn't just mean that we're only talking about 2024. You just talked about opening up a window. What have we been saying? If you don't have a market value quarterback, so I'm not going to say Kirk anymore. I'm going to say market value quarterback. You have the ability to affect three or four other premium positions to where now you can get some. Yes. Is that a guarantee that the guy you choose as your rookie quarterback is going to be able to give you top 10 to 15 production? No, but that's what you're hoping for. And yes, this guy, he's my number one priority. That's that outside of the Vikings building. That's what I said at the beginning. That's what I'll end it with. He's the first guy I go after.
Mm-hmm. And I agree wholeheartedly. Now, Kwesi's got a lot of stuff on his plate right now. It's going to be really interesting to see. Hopefully we'll find out some stuff tonight. If Kirk Cousins says, no, I'm not accepting the Vikings offer, I'm going to test free agency.
Good.
Or if he says, I'm accepting the Vikings lowball offer, and then I'd be angry with Kwesi for not making it lower. but that's just Dave. Kirk has been good with us, but I think it's time for us to move on, and we're all ready for it, because if we go into year 7 with the same old story, it's as a content creator, it's not exactly what I want. I want something new and fresh, and I think everybody else does too. I don't care who it is, right? If we draft, take any of the top 6. Now, I want somebody in the top 4, but if we take any of the top 6,
right,
people are still going to be excited, and they're going to sell jerseys and do all those things that the Wolves want, because it's going to be new and exciting. We're going to see how it goes, and we'll see who the, quote, bridge quarterback is if we go with one of the lesser guys and all sorts of stuff like that. You know, I know you've said, you what, we've got the bridge quarterback under contract already, and I agree with you. I think it'd be fun. Does he throw a boatload of interceptions? Yeah, but he also throws over 400 yards game. He makes it absolutely wild in the process and entertaining. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And if Deanna Rossini is right, we're going to find out tonight. So stay tuned, because we're going to have more on that coming up. But we have a few other free agent stuff that we want to hit up real quick before we go. One of them happens to be Garrett Bradbury. Garrett Bradbury is going into his 6th season, I believe. And for most of it, he's been horrible. or close to it. Not last season, but 2022, he was better. Last season, he regressed a bit. And he has his weaknesses, especially against that good defensive interior push, whether it be guys at nose or interior guys like either Phillips or Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to hand him his lunch.
Kenny Clark from the Packers as another example.
It's what it is. If they decide to move on from Bradberry, which there has been some reporting that that might be the case, there are some interesting people out there. Today, it was, let's see, who was it? Somebody just got released from, trying to remember where it was. No biggie. Rhino had posted the tweet on it. I'm not excited about him, but the one I am excited about, who's already been told he's gone, is Lloyd Cushenberry from Denver. Lloyd Cushenberry, I have his scores up here, PFF grades. And PFF grades, I know people are, they're great, they're horrible, whatever, however you feel about them. They're the only ones that give you grades on linemen. On individual linemen. So, if you look at his grades, one, he's a little bit younger. Two, he's better by far than Bradberry. Three, he's coming from Denver. He's been under the same coach that we have as our offensive line coach. And I expect he'll go for reasonable cost. If I had my way, I would very much consider, can we bring Cushenberry in? And then could that be a replacement for Bradberry? You could even keep Bradberry on him. Have him fight it out, right? Who knows best? Because Bradberry's not that expensive. But I would like to see Cushenberry come in because I believe he's the better center. And I don't think we're going to draft a better center. Like I said, linemen take usually about 3 years to develop. This guy's developed. He's coming off his first contract, and he's already good. Snag him.
Yes.
It's not going to be that expensive. It's going to probably be under $10 million. Snag him.
We don't have to go very far on this. Yes, yes, and yes. To answer your question, Bradberry right now is a $5.8 million cap hit this season. If the Vikings cut him, they would save $2.5 million. Yes, he wouldn't be that expensive to cut. He wouldn't be that expensive to keep as a backup, but I don't know that you want to go down that road. I'd be okay with it. But yes, no, I want this running game last year, whether it was you want to talk about Alexander Mattison versus Dalvin Cook, whether you want to talk about the offensive line, or whether you want to talk about the head coach that is so married to passing that he kind of forgets the running game sometimes, they need a bit of an overhaul. And I'm sorry, I think I'm just, it's kind of the same thing. I'm just kind of done with Garrett Bradberry. I'm just kind of done with him. I'm sick of seeing him getting forklifted into whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Cousins or Nick Mullins or Jaren Hall or Joe Bag and Donuts that we draft. I want to have a solid centerpiece where then you allow, you bring back a Dalton Risner, perhaps. You hope that Ed Ingram can continue to develop, but get one more pillar on that offensive line. Garrett Bradberry is at best just a guy. He's definitely not a pillar. So I'm 100% agree with you, and I'll keep this one short. If you can get him, especially at what you just said, for under $10 million a year.
Or even right around 10. I'd be happy.
Around 10? Yeah. Yes. Sign me up for that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to find out. Kwesi, like I said, Kwesi's got a lot to deal with here in the next few days. It's going to be fun to see. We don't know. That's this season, we've had more in this offseason about what's going to change. It all starts with Kirk Cousins. What's going to change? What's going to be new? All this stuff. Kwesi and KOC getting their legs under them. They're into their third year, just like Lyman. It takes a while for brand new head coaches and GMs to develop. It's going to be fun. And this offseason has been fun because of all the speculation. And everything that's moving, we're not, we're locked into the same old, you know, we don't know. The next 48 to 72 hours could be absolutely fantastic, and then the weeks after that. So all the way up to the draft, and we've got stuff planned for that too. So it's going to be fun.
With and that, I think to your point about the excitement level, there was a point made about Kirk, about the owners, and are they going to finally allow their general manager to say, hey, yes, he gets us this, but he doesn't get us that. Are you finally willing to accept the risk that maybe taking a step back? This does seem like the time that the owners, because there was a time in 2020, right after the division round loss to the 49ers, that's when that Super Bowl window closed. But the owners, the Wolves didn't want to hear that. They said, no. We just brought in this Kirk guy. We're not changing it up after only 2 years. We're only a couple pieces here or there away. We just made the division round of the playoffs. What'd they do? They traded for Yannick Ngakoue and went 7-9. But my point in all of that is simply this. I think Kwesi accepted this job and accepted the Wolves' premise that you're going to try it out for a couple of years with what we have. Because that's why the guy who went to Chicago, the Poles guy, didn't get the job. Bulls came in and said, hey, you need to tear this down, whether it's all the way to the studs or partially. And the owners didn't want to hear that. But I think Kwesi probably said, all right, I will do it your way for 2 years. But once we've established that it's kind of the same song and dance, you have to allow me to do the job that you hired me to do. Because otherwise, why did you fire Rick Spielman and bring in this guy if you're going to make him play by the same playbook that Rick Spielman was playing with? And the fact is, Kirk is a little bit older now as well. So I say all that to say this, to wrap this up. I think there is a renewed sense of we might finally see something different. And it may not be better, but it could be.
But it's going to be different.
I think that's... it's going to be different than the same old, same old. And I'm willing to take, I'm willing to roll those dice. I've said it before. I'm not scared to roll the dice and afraid of it might not be as good as what we've had, because at the end of the day, what have we had? We've had just okay. So yes, it's going to be a blast. And it's really going to be a blast come Wednesday. Tomorrow, around 11 o'clock Central Time, when the tampering period opens, you're going to hear stuff, but nothing will be official until Wednesday. When Wednesday rolls around, hear,
player X agreed to terms with Team B.
Yep.
And that's what you're going to start hearing starting tomorrow.
Holy cow, it's going to be fun.
Now, I do want to, one last bit, Brian asked about, don't forget about JJ and Darisaw. Brian, I fully suspect JJ is getting the bank. He's getting the bank this year. They're going to come to an agreement. They're just waiting on. They're playing their game of the timing thing between, if the Vikings had their way, he'd be under contract right now. JJ's delaying it because he wants to make sure he's the highest paid, and they're waiting on other contracts to fall into that. So that, I suspect, will happen not the very first week of free agency, but probably it could be even as we close in on the season, it's going to get done. I have no doubt with that whatsoever. And remember, we still have 3 more years, if you count this year, of control over JJ. I'm not worried about that. As for Darisaw, this year is the first year he's eligible for an extension. I suspect it will be next year that we're talking about extending him, and they're going to wait and see. You know, we saw the huge raise in cap money this year. I suspect next year will be even bigger, and they're going to wait on that. And the agents are going to want to wait on that, because that's where inflation on contracts comes into play. Each free agent year where it goes up, they're the ones eating that inflation on that cap. So they're going to wait. So I'm not worried about either one of those. None. I bet they both get done. They don't bother me whatsoever. And Purple Haze, if you think Penix gets to be our guy and we don't need Darisaw, that's a possibility. Then it'd be trade bait, a high-ranking trade bait. But I don't know if they're going to do Penix. Penix is, you know, one of the top six, so 7 if you want to include Rattler. We'll find out. It's going to be interesting. That's what's so cool about this time of year. Like you said at the beginning, it's like Christmas. Let's start opening presents.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Want to thank everybody who joined us today. We still got 150 people in the building right now. Shameless plug, not so shameless. If you don't already subscribe to Purple and Gold for Days, that is my channel. I know I've been a little light on podcasts over the last few weeks since the season's ended. Again, a lot of life stuff going on, but I put the link in the chat one more time. Hit me up with a sub. Want, again, to thank everybody that has joined us here today and for the loyalty to both channels. And we're going to keep the train rolling. We're going to keep the train rolling. Now the real train is about to start. Before, it was some test runs after the Super Bowl, and Tyler did an outstanding job with the combine stuff. Again, people say, Justin, you going to do some combine stuff? I'm like, I don't have time for combine stuff. I'm just going to be regurgitating. Why don't you check out Tyler? He's live and in person on the scenes there. So thank you everybody for joining us today, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And thank you, Dave, for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Maybe we can do this again next week. It should be fun. Just want to let everybody know, you saw Vikings First and Skull, the icon pop up. That was Tyler. Tyler hopped in today. He is at the ready. As soon as any sort of breaking news comes out, we're ready to go live with Kirk Cousins news. I'll be shortly there afterwards, probably within 30 minutes. And we'll get that going. So we're ready. We expect another busy week, sort of like during the combine, only this one's going to be more exciting because it's going to directly deal with your Minnesota Vikings. So, Grandizer, no, I was never awarded a Silver Star. Nope, 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 nope. They go for heroes. I was just a aircraft mechanic and logistics specialist. Nope. Didn't happen.
Not just, though. Come on now. Not just. We all do. Y'all do. Everybody does their part, as they say.
I've got my own story.
Don't sell yourself short there, hero. Come on.
But anyways, I wear the shirt today. Don't give in to the war within. In veteran suicide. It's near and dear to my heart. I am a veteran. I served in one capacity or another for over 30 years. So there is... It's near and dear to my heart. If there's any any veterans out there that are having a rough time, feel free to contact me. I'll talk you through it and get you help if you need it, whatever. Point you in the right direction, or just, you know, listen to war stories, because that's, yes, I was Air Force. That's what we're here for. You know, we went through the same shit one way or another. So we're here for you. And speaking of the same shit, we're not having it this year, because this year is new and exciting for your Minnesota Vikings.
There you go.
And we will catch you later. But stay tuned to Vikings First and Skull, because we're going to have the latest of it, and catch Justin as well on his channel. And we'll see you online. What do we say, Justin?
We say thank you, Norsefius and Fig Nuts, for reminding us. If you didn't wipe your feet at the door, hit the like button on the way out and help us get this pushed out on the aggregator. But sans that, we say, Skull Vikings, let's win this game. If the elevator tries to bring you down, go crazy, punch a higher floor. Skull Vikings, baby.
Like, subscribe, and ring the bell. And rate us on your favorite podcast aggregator. Darren and Dave, thank you for watching this episode of Two Old Bloggers. We look forward to seeing you on every show on the new Vikings First and Skull. You can find our podcasts as part of the Fans First Sports Network. Sports takes for the fan, from the fan. Skull, everybody!
This has been a Vikings First and Skull production, part of the Fans First Sports Network.